In a logo, a blue sign hurtles toward a green planet in space. Turner. Now, a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now, neon marquees light up the night.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire.
Titles appear. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents a Jack Cummings, George Sidney production.
Stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living, the devil may care.
Starring Elvis Presley and Anne Margaret in Viva Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas.
How I wish that there were more than 24 hours in the day.
This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Carol Hostetler. Read by Margot Stage. Funding provided by the U.S. Department of Education. Titles continue in glitzy golden letters. Co-starring Cesar Denova, William Demarest, Nikki Blair. Music by George Stoll. Director of Photography, Joseph Barak, ASC.
Fever Las Vegas with your neon flashing and your one-armed bandits crashing. All those hawks down the drain.
Titles continue. Art direction by George W. Davis and Edward Carfagno. Set direction by Henry Grace and George R. Nelson. Assistant director, Milton Feldman. Film editor, John McSweeney, ACE. Choreographer, David Winters. Costumes designed by Don Feld. Hairstyles by Sidney Guileroff. Makeup supervision, William Tuttle. Follies Bergère sequence by arrangement with Hotel Tropicana, Las Vegas. Recording supervisor, Franklin Milton. Copyright 1964. Written by Sally Benson. Directed by George Sidney.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
Nighttime in the brightly lit, bustling city. A white convertible with red flames painted on its front panels tows a small race car up to a nightclub. Along the club's low roof, huge cursive letters spell Flamingo in glittering white neon. Now inside, a young man with black hair slicked back in a pompadour stops by the slot machines and looks around. He walks farther into the club, then stands with his hands on his hips and a slight pucker on his full lips. Wearing black pants and a red t-shirt, he smiles, unzips his black jacket, and walks over to a long, crowded gambling table. He hands a dealer some money, then picks up the dice and rubs them between his hands. Raising one hand over his head, he gives the dice a shake. Elsewhere, a mechanic runs into an engine shop waving a paper.
Mr. Swanson! Mr. Swanson! Mr. Swanson! Look, he's got the dough! He's got the dough!
That's great.
It's like a miracle. A dream coming true.
Well, let's go. Lucky always wanted a race for himself.
He's supposed to meet me back here in Los Angeles. Well, let's get acquainted, Mr. Swanson.
Hey, not so fast, now. Lucky's your friend and partner, but I'm just a plain, ordinary businessman. Until he shows up with the dough, that motor stays where it is, right here.
But Mr. Swanson, he's got the dough!
Look, Shorty, I can't deposit this in my bank account. It's the wrong color.
Hey, Swanny, is that motor still for sale?
Oh, yes, Mr. Olson. It's the last one I've got in the shop.
Huh? But you can't. But look, he's going to buy it.
I told you, Shorty, the first guy walks in here with the dough buys the motor.
Shorty runs to a phone.
Who's the wild-eyed one?
Lucky Jackson's mechanic.
Uh-huh. Well, I might be interested in this motor as a spare. I'm entering two cars in the Las Vegas Grand Prix.
Operator, get me Las Vegas, quick!
Daytime. The black-haired man pulls his convertible into a sandy lot filled with race cars.
Hey, you got room for me?
Sure, drive right in.
Hey, boss, here comes Lucky Jackson with his entry.
Inside a large garage, men in coveralls leave their bays and walk up to Lucky as he tows in his shining steel-blue race car and gets out. Standing by a red Ferrari, an older man in clean blue coveralls places a cigarette between his lips as he watches.
Them
Now, this is quite a rig. I never saw anything like it.
Yeah, it's one of a kind. I built it myself.
What'll she do?
Well, I don't know yet. I'm on my way to Los Angeles to pick up a motor. I'll be back tomorrow.
Aye.
I'd like to pay in advance, Mr. Baker.
All right. Thank you.
Lucky strolls to the red Ferrari and looks it over as the older man walks up, wiping his hands on a cloth.
Well, what do you think of it, Mr. Lucky Jackson?
Well, Elmo Mancini, the Italian racing count. How do you know who I am?
I went 3 times to watch you drive at the Giulapi races at Western Speedway. You are brilliant, my friend.
Thanks, coming from the champion.
In Europe. And now I would like to prove myself in your country. Too bad you're on your way back to Los Angeles. I had a proposition to make to you.
Me?
Yes. You see, I admire the bravado with which you drive, and I would like you to drive for me.
You mean you're not going to drive in the Grand Prix?
Oh, no. I mean I intend to win.
Oh, now I get it. You want to use my bravado to block for you so you can
That's right. I knew you were clever, Mr. Jackson.
Well, just a couple of 3 things wrong with your proposition.
Oh?
I don't work for anybody. I never run second to anybody. And one small thing. I intend to win.
Mancini glances at his red car.
Do you think you can beat both of us?
I'm going to try. I'd like to see what you've got under here.
Oh, be my guest.
Smiling, the men lie down on 2 garage dollies and roll under the car, which rests on jack stands.
Well, you have made some changes, haven't you?
I got my little secret.
Yeah, I can tell.
Nearby, a woman wearing short shorts and white heels walks by. Glancing at each other, the racers roll out.
Can you help me, please?
Can we help you? Yes, ma'am.
Well, then I'd like you to check my motor. It whistles.
I don't blame it.
What did you say?
Oh, forgive my friend, miss. He's very young. We'll be very happy to check your motor.
They follow the young woman as she walks out to the sandy lot, wearing an orange sweater with her white shorts. Her golden red hair shines in the bright sunlight.
What I call a real sporty model.
Oh, I agree. A beautiful line.
She stops by a white roadster with the top down. The men stroll to the front and open the hood.
Count?
Oh, yes.
That's how I started out, working on sports cars.
Count Mancini props up the hood and they stare at the engine. Glancing at the young woman, he shakes his head.
Well, no wonder.
Well, is it serious?
I'll tell you one thing. You know, she got a lucky break when she stopped in here.
Oh, yes.
Start her up, champ.
Yeah.
Mancini climbs over the driver's door and reaches for the ignition. Below the raised hood, the woman leans close to Lucky.
Let her rip.
I simply don't understand.
I'll make it simple, ma'am. Your motor's broken.
Broke? But it was running perfectly when I pulled up here, except for the whistle. Are you sure you're a mechanic?
Sure I'm a mechanic. I mean, you got here just in the nick of time because we're going to dismantle this whole thing.
Completely.
It might take a whole day.
A day?
Maybe two.
Mancini winks at him.
Well, if you have to. Well, can you lend me a car until you have mine running again?
Well, we'll do better than that. I'll be happy to drive you wherever you want to go.
And why should you go to all that bother?
Because around here I'm known as your very bothering mechanic.
Smiling, Lucky stares into her green eyes.
I'm sure you are.
Be right back.
Leaning over her engine, she turns and watches Lucky leave. Mancini strolls up and rests his arm on the hood.
I'm sorry.
In the shop, Lucky starts to peel off his coveralls, then stumbles out to the lot as the white roadster drives away.
Hey! Hey! Fixed. Very smart. You know what you've done?
What?
You don't even know the girl's name. Or do you? You could have at least taken a look at a registration slip.
I had no eyes for a registration slip. My eyes were
on... I know what your eyes were on. We don't even know if she lives here or not. She could be a tourist for all we know.
Mr. Jackson, trust my instinct in these matters. She could be in one of the shows. But after all, what difference does it make, my friend? Unfortunately, you are on your way to Los Angeles, and I have to work on my car. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we have no time to search for a beautiful girl.
I guess you're right.
Good luck to you.
Good luck to you, too.
Evening. Neon light moves through massive letters that spell Sands. The marquee below reads, Jack Entratter presents the most beautiful girls in the world. Now, wearing a tuxedo, Count Mancini stops by a poster of women posed in feather costumes. Inside, women wearing beaded bathing suits twirl fans made of large white feathers. Smiling, they appear, then disappear behind the luxurious plumes. Mancini strolls in and takes a seat at a small table, his trim brown hair parted neatly on the side. Spying Lucky across the dimly lit room, he gets up and joins him at his table. They exchange a grin.
I thought you were on your way to Los Angeles, my friend.
The same way you were going to work on your motor, my friend, remember?
Did you find her?
I've checked them all yet.
Wearing a gray suit and black tie, Lucky turns back to the Follies show a few feet from his table. Holding a cigarette, Mancini smiles and surveys the women, who bend forward in the spotlight, holding out their large feather fans like massive white wings. Moving their fans slowly, the 10 women form two lines. They glide into huddles, forming two wheels with their fans, which they rotate as they smile beneath sparkling tiaras. At their table, Lucky and Count Mancini lean toward the stage, peering into each woman's face. At the show's close, the men turn to each other and grin.
We'll fight if it takes all night.
Later, red neon letters spell Thunderbird on a background of blue and white stripes. Lucky and Mancini stride into the club and eye a line of women who step with their backs to the audience. Turning one at a time, the Asian women bob their heads back and forth. Smiling, the men leave. Now, glittering white lights spell stardust over a field of shooting neon stars. Inside, women in long brown gowns hold the masks of comedy and tragedy to their faces. Their brown turbans are topped with a cheetah print headdress and black and white feathers. At a table, Lucky and Mancini squint as the women lower their masks. Gesturing to each other, they leave. Now a pink neon sign spelling Flamingo glows against the night sky. Inside, Lucky and Mancini slowly walk by along a stage where a line of women do the twist, wearing beaded red swimsuits with bobbing bustles made of red and white feather boas. Neon lights in the shape of a pineapple spread up to bright orange letters that spell Tropicana. Inside, statuesque women sashay across a stage, each wearing a towering headdress arranged with white and pink plumes and rhinestones. They pose on white stairs, tiered like a wedding cake. From offstage, Lucky and Mancini glance up at the show. Pulling up their skirts, the women break into a rollicking can-can down the broad steps, ending on the stage in a split, then throwing their legs in the air. Later, the two men check over their shoulder and follow a line of Sahara Club showgirls down the stairs to the theater wings. Leaning over the rail, they check the women on stage, costumed with pink feather headdresses and large ostrich-like tails. The showgirls turn toward the men, who smile and wave as security guards hustle them away. On the street, Lucky and Mancini stare up at a towering sign draped with neon swags that reads Swingers Club.
How are we doing?
Might as well.
Welcome, sons of the Lone Star State.
Looks like they're having a good time. Whoops.
A beefy man carries a woman past them. Inside, a waiter runs through the raucous crowd to a bald man who wipes his head.
Boss, I've done the best.
I know. Go get yourself a drink for 10.
Lucky turns to the bald man.
Do you have a girl working here about so high?
With legs incomparable.
Oh, I don't know what kind of girls I got, but troubles I got plenty.
What time does the next show go on?
There isn't going to be any show until I get these crazy sons, till I get them out of here.
You get the girls ready to go on in 5 minutes.
Lucky wades into the crowd, grabs two pistols, dons a cowboy hat, and walks onto the stage.
Hello, Jackson! Sons of the glorious Lone Star State! Yeah! What a great tribute to some of the names that'll make Texas the most glorious and proud state of the Union. Yeah. To the memory of noble Sam Houston. Yeah. To the one and only Davy Crockett. Yeah. John Wayne. Yeah.
Oh, the yellow rose of Texas is the only gal I love. Her eyes are even bluer than Texas skies above. Her heart's as big as Texas, and wherever I may go, I'll remember her forever because I love her so. There are so many roses that bloom along the way, but my heart's in Amarillo, and that's where it will stay.
On the round stage, a group of men dance together, waving pom-poms in the air as two other men draw a rope around them. Lucky circles the stage, then stands on a chair and conducts singing patrons. Next to him, Mancini breaks into a laugh.
Because I love her so, the eyes of Texas are upon you.
Beating a bass drum, Lucky leads a parade around the smoky club. Next in line, Mancini taps a snare drum. The Swingers Club band, sporting tan shirts and bolero ties, falls in behind them. Men in cowboy hats join the line, with women in long gowns. Lucky waves his drum mallet in the air and marches out the front door. The crowd follows, climbing onto a long flatbed truck. Waving pom-poms, the Texans fill the truck as the bald manager grins at Lucky and Mancini.
Out the girls.
Come to think of it, we never had a girl that high, legs incomparable, but we got a gorgeous line of Korean cuties.
Scowling, Lucky and Mancini leave. Morning. In the Count's hotel room, they sip coffee.
Trust my instincts in these matters, my friend. Okay, I trusted your instincts. Now, where are you getting it? Nowhere.
To Texas. It's not the end of the world, my friend. Tonight is another night.
Tonight, I'll be on my way back to Los Angeles.
Count Mancini goes to a king-size bed and puts on boat shoes. Lucky glances at the open window. Pulling back the drapes, he looks down on a swimming pool.
Now watch me. Spread. Step, step. Swan.
On a dive platform, the woman with golden red hair instructs children.
Count. All right. I'm going to be on my way to Los Angeles right now. Can I borrow this?
You mean you're going to take the guitar all the way back to Los Angeles?
What for?
All right, now,
Mancini stands holding his cigarette, then strides to the window and looks down. Grinning, he watches the woman as her young students dive from low board. She stands at the side of the pool in a bright red tank suit with a row of white buttons. As she leans on the board, her undone top button lends a glimpse of her full bust. Guitar at his side, Lucky walks up, wearing his gray suit, white shirt, and black tie. His black, slicked back hair gleams in the sunlight.
Yeah.
Good morning. I've been looking for you all night.
Really? You must be desperate to find a motor that needs fixing.
Yeah. Well, what I really need is a swimming lesson.
I'm through with swimming lessons for today.
Great. Why don't you and I go out somewhere?
I have other duties, see?
Pointing at the pool manager sign, she goes in the bathhouse. Lucky starts to play.
She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me. She loves me. The lady loves me, and it shows.
Inside the bathhouse, she smiles toward the slatted door and rolls her eyes.
I'm her ideal, her heart's desire. Under that eye, she's burning like fire. She'd like to cuddle up to me. She's playing hard to get. The lady loves me, but she doesn't know it yet.
She rests her arms on the top of a dressing screen.
The gentleman has savoir faire, as much as an elephant or a bear. I'd like to take him for a spin, back to the zoo to visit his kin. He's got about as much appeal as his cigarette. The lady loathes him, but he doesn't know it yet.
Changed into a yellow tank suit, she comes out.
The lady's got a crush on me.
The gentleman's crazy, obviously.
The lady's dying to be kissed.
The gentleman needs a psychiatrist. I'd rather kiss a rattlesnake or play Russian roulette.
Women smile from their bar stools as she takes a yellow beach robe and strides away in her high heels. Strumming his guitar, Lucky follows.
She's falling fast, she's on the skids.
Both of his heads are flipping their lids.
Tonight she'll hold me in her arms.
I'd rather be holding hydrogen bombs. Will someone tell this Romeo I'm not his Juliet?
The lady loves me, but she doesn't know it yet.
He trails her around the pool.
She wants me
like poison ivy.
Needs me
like a hole in the head.
Everyone can see she's got it bad.
He's mad. The gentleman is an egotist.
I'm simply aware I'm hard to resist.
He's one man I could learn to hate.
How's about having dinner at eight?
I'd rather dine with a Frankenstein in a moonlight tête-à-tête.
Still strumming his guitar, Lucky follows her up some stairs to the high dive platform.
Oh, yes, she loves me.
Dig that shrinking violet.
Oh, she really loves me.
Here's one gal you'll never get.
She loves me.
Would you like to make a bet?
She backs him up to the edge of the diving board and pushes him off. As Lucky kicks back up to the surface, his money roll sinks.
The gentleman's all wet.
Smiling, she skips away as the Count helps Lucky out of the pool. His dripping suit clings to him.
My friend, I'm afraid you're using the wrong technique.
No kidding.
A young boy dives into the pool and swims to the bottom, where he picks up the thick roll of money from Lucky's pocket. The boy surfaces and leaves the money near a filter, which sucks it in. Later, Lucky enters the hotel lobby.
Oh, Mr. Jackson, may I have a word with you, please?
Sure. What's the word?
The word, Mr. Jackson, is money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you arrived with no luggage, and you have charged to your...
Hey, Lucky! Hey,
his mechanic, Shorty, runs up.
Well, didn't you get the messages? I left Swanson's going to sell a motor unless we get the money to him right away.
Well, don't worry about it. We're getting out of here right now. Give me the wheel.
Say, how'd you get wet? Fall in the pool or something?
Long story.
Shorty grins as Lucky fishes in his pocket.
Maybe you got a stash in the room somewhere?
Uh-uh.
Some dame roll you? Uh-huh. Now, don't panic, partner. I'll help you here.
It's no use, Shorty. The money's gone.
In the pool, Rusty, the young woman, gives a swimming lesson to a boy doing the backstroke.
Very good. Good, Timmy. Good, 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 good. Good. All right, Timmy, that's enough. You can join the others. Very
As she
good.
Gets out and grabs a towel, Mancini walks up.
I was watching you teach. Very good.
Thank you.
I've ordered lunch for both of us. Will you join me?
Thank you so much, but I'm on duty right now.
Too bad.
He walks to his table with two waiters who carry large trays on their shoulders. As they put them down, Mancini looks up. It's Lucky and Shorty.
What's this? Some kind of American joke?
No, it's not. He lost all our money.
But that's not a tragedy, my friend. Now you can drive for me.
Looks like we got a job here for a long, long time, Count.
Lucky looks across the pool.
Serve him, Shorty.
He walks over to Rusty, working at a desk in her yellow beach robe.
Ma'am, would you like a lemonade on the house?
I heard about your money, Lucky. I'm so sorry.
Ah, it's only money.
Only money? Do you realize how hard it is to earn money?
But I want it.
Not win it, but make it.
Well, now that you've gotten me told, how would you like to go out with me?
He leans close. Smiling, she stands.
I'm a working girl.
Not tomorrow, you're not. I checked already. I'm on the shift that gets off, too. And I got a whole day to spend with you. So?
So, all right.
Yeah?
Meet me at the University of Nevada tomorrow.
You must be kidding.
No.
What are they teaching you? How to stack cards, deal from the bottom of the deck, or what? Look, Rusty, I thought maybe you and I could go dancing or something.
Oh, you want to go dancing?
Or something.
Are you a good dancer?
Try me.
He looks her over. Her green eyes twinkle.
That I will. Meet me at the university gymnasium tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and we'll, dance.
Or something.
Now, two hands pat a drum in a gymnasium. Wearing black high heels and black tights with a red turtleneck, Rusty runs onto a stage and starts to dance. Her hair whips across her face as she shakes her head and snaps her fingers. A jazz combo sits to her left. Six guys jump on stage and fan out behind her, forming a V. They shake their hips, then swing their arms around and hop to one side. They twirl and leap, then step to the beat across the stage, shaking their shoulders. As Rusty dances over to the band, the group follows, shimmying in unison. She turns, her red hair flies. Her long legs step out toward the other dancers, backing them off. Lucky stands off stage with a group of people watching as the dancers form two lines. Rusty sashays back between the lines, running her hand through her hair, then high steps to the front and stops, throwing out her hands. Breathless, she hurries over to Lucky.
Relax.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you want to join us?
If I get caught cornering, I'm going to take my license away.
But you said you wanted to dance.
Yeah, we're not here.
Are you going to chicken out?
Yeah, I'm going to chicken out. Can we cut out of here and look at
that? On one condition. Now, the kids here have been expecting you to do something, so if you don't want to dance, sing. I know you can do that.
Okay, but then we cut out, right?
Right.
Wearing a cream-colored suit, Lucky hops on stage and talks to the band, then nods.
Come on, everybody, and snap your fingers now.
As Lucky leads, Rusty and the college kids follow, clapping on the gym floor.
Come on, everybody, and whistle this tune right now. Come on, everybody, and stomp your feet real loud. Come on, everybody, take a real deep breath and repeat after. I was born to rock. Come on, everybody, and turn your head to the left.
Below the stage, Rusty's hair swings as she dances at the front of the group, her hips gyrating. Lucky snaps his fingers and sings to her. Two guys wheel out a pommel horse. Lucky takes a ride, then jumps off and reaches for Rusty, who climbs on stage.
But I was raised with a guitar in my hand, and I was born to rock. Hold everybody and turn your head to the left.
Together, Lucky and Rusty jerk their heads to the left and the right, then step to the rear of the stage.
Come on, everybody, take a real deep breath and
they take a few jazzy steps forward, then stop and turn to each other. Taking a few steps more, they freeze at the front of the stage.
I said, my baby, I said, my baby, love me.
Dropping to one knee, Lucky bends Rusty backwards in a swoon. Later, at a shooting range. Wearing a shooting vest over a blue sleeveless dress, Rusty hits two clay pigeons, then grins and walks back to Lucky, who raises his gun. Lucky's clay pigeon soars off through the air. Now they ride scooters across an airport tarmac. Lucky throws out both arms and glances at Rusty. Slowly, Rusty stands on her seat, extending her hands for balance. As her scooter cruises ahead of Lucky's, she snaps her fingers and dances, swaying her arms in a hula motion. Later, in a fake Western town, Rusty paces across the street in white cowboy boots, wearing a red holster over her shorts and a short beaded vest. Lucky paces toward her, and they draw. Lucky drops his toy pistol and throws up both hands. Lucky drops one finger at a time, then runs to the grass where he collapses. Rusty trots over and puts her foot on his stomach. Smiling, she blows on her smoking pistol. Later, in a helicopter, she grins and buckles her seatbelt. Slowly, it rises from the tarmac. Lucky pilots the copter, wearing earphones over his baseball cap. A plexiglass bubble curves around them. Rusty's hair gleams in the sunlight.
Hey, this is fun!
Tell her where to travel.
Oh, that's Hoover Dam, one of the seven modern civil engineering wonders of this century. Do you know that it's over 700 feet from the Colorado River below to the top of the dam? Do you know that the dam helps make enough electricity to light up homes 300 miles away?
Well, well, fly with Rusty Martin and complete your education.
You sound like a guide, don't you?
Oh. Smiling, they look down on the dam.
Keep going. Like, where are we going?
That way. And that's Lake Mead behind the dam. Do you see it?
Mm-hmm. Continue, Professor.
Right. The lake has 550 miles of shoreline, and that's the marina coming up right there ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
The slips are packed with boats.
And there you can go sailing, boating, fishing, swimming, water skiing.
Whoa! You just said the magic word.
I did?
Yep, hang on. Here we go.
Later, a motorboat slices across the lake, towing Rusty and Lucky as they water ski. Rusty cuts in and crosses under Lucky's tow rope. Smiling, they wave at each other, then cross back. Jagged, sandy-colored mountains tower over them as they ski together and put an arm around each other. They move in tandem, then drop into the water. Evening. On board a docked yacht, they hang their bathing suits on a line.
Where are you from, Rusty?
Dubuque.
Dubuque? Well, what do you know? I've never been there myself, but it's interesting that you're from good old Dubuque.
Before you get too attached to good old Dubuque, we moved there from Chillicothe, Ohio.
Chillicothe, Ohio?
Right.
Well, how about that? I've never been there either.
Well, don't fall in love with Chillicothe either, because before that, we lived in Helena, Arkansas.
Yeah?
It's on the Mississippi.
The old Mississippi River. What a great place to be born.
Oh, I wasn't born there. I was born right here in Las Vegas.
You're putting me on.
Nope.
Well, now, that's a coincidence.
Why?
That you were born here in Las Vegas, and after all that traveling, I met you here in Las Vegas. It must mean something.
All it means is that my father came here to work on the dam, and he liked it so much he stayed. We live right over here.
She smiles, her red hair wrapped in a long lime green scarf.
I sort of remember Las Vegas was nothing much then. Just a little place where people came to get married.
Came to get married. Still do, I guess.
I suppose. It's a thing I'm not very much interested in.
Me neither. I guess you got big plans for your future, haven't you?
Blinking, she steps away and gazes off in the distance.
You'll probably find it very dull and commonplace, but I want to earn enough money to help my father buy a boat.
A boat?
Yes. He runs a sightseeing boat on the lake now. You know, my father's the kind of a man who doesn't like to work for other people. He wants to work for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually never had a chance to because of taking care of me. You see, for a long time, it's just been my father and me.
Your father's the kind of man who likes to work for himself, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like me.
Oh, he's entirely different. He's actually more like me. Not crazy at all.
Thank you.
They share a smile.
Honey?
Dad.
Can't I be a little bit crazy?
Hi, Dad. Lucky this is my father.
Hi, Martin.
The men shake hands.
Rusty's talked a lot about you, Lucky.
She has?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think she'd even mention me.
I believe I did mention about your losing your money.
Uh-huh. Had a good day, you two?
Oh, it was great. We went
sightseeing, the usual things, you know.
Oh, yes, sure.
Lucky gives her a quizzical look.
You kids remember to eat lunch?
Oh.
Oh, you didn't, huh? Well, you better come inside the apartment. We'll throw something together.
Thanks, Mr. Martin, but I better get the copter back.
You kids come over in a copter?
Mm-hmm.
Don't they cost about $10 a minute?
Well, the guy that runs the field is an old Air Force buddy of mine. He still lets me order him around a little bit.
Well, someday soon, I'd like to hear what you have to say about race driving. And come to think of it, if I were younger, I might take it up myself.
Father?
You better take it up with your daughter. She don't think it's safe.
Well, honey, I'll run along. I promised old Jake Stiles I'd go bowling.
Father, stop torturing me. I couldn't eat a thing.
Mr. Martin frowns at his daughter, then up at Lucky, as the two gaze into each other's eyes. Rubbing his chin, he walks away.
I never had a better day.
Me too.
Just don't let it in.
I'll go change.
With a wide smile, Rusty goes inside, leaving Lucky alone on the canopied boat deck. Slowly, he walks to a small white piano.
I give you my heart. Today, tomorrow, and forever. You'll always be my love.
Rusty comes back out, wearing a green sweater over a yellow dress. Slowly, she crosses to the piano.
I give you my heart. Today, tomorrow, and forever. You'll always be my love.
Rusty rests her hands on the piano and leans toward Lucky, who gazes at her. Later, in a nightclub.
Cheek to cheek.
Toes to toes.
Four black men in green satin jackets sway on the bandstand. In the crowd, Rusty and Lucky touch their toes together. Together, the young couples lower to a squat, then straighten. They step to the left, then step to the right. Lucky, wearing skinny black pants with black boots and a short yellow jacket, bobs his head as he steps. As they dance, Rusty and Lucky lock eyes in a smoldering gaze, their parted lips nearly touching.
Squat!
Harlem move, and you're doing the...
Lucky and Rusty end in each other's arms, then make their way to the front. Lucky hops up on the bandstand and loops a guitar over his shoulder. Just below him, Rusty shimmies in her yellow sleeveless dress.
Hey, mama, don't you treat me wrong. Come and love your daddy all night long. She knows how to shake her thing.
As she dances, Rusty pretends to show off a diamond ring, then breaks into a wiggle, shaking her head with her hands behind her.
Ah,
starts, Lucky steps down with his guitar slung on his back. With Rusty at his side, he leads the dancers, who step up and then back, clapping their hands. Now they hold their hands out limply in front of them and jiggle their heads, bending forward, then hopping up straight. The crowd hugs the rim of the circular dance floor, painted like a roulette wheel. One couple steps into the middle and shimmies. She turns and collapses back into his arms, then he flings her up and out. Lucky glances over at a woman who wiggles in a red dress.
See the girl with the red dress on? She can do the dog all night long.
Takes the floor. The girl slides between the guy's legs. He pulls her up and over his head as she throws out her legs in a split. Now arms locked in his, she flips over his back. He flips back over hers. In a series of flips, their legs blur through the air like the blades of a windmill. Couples flood the dance floor. Floor, several dancers circle in a rumble line. Others surround Rusty and Lucky in the center of the roulette wheel. As the lights dim, Rusty and Lucky stand in a spotlight and kiss. Daytime. Rusty stands by two camel sculptures in front of a hotel. Wearing a pink sleeveless dress, she checks her picnic basket, then waves as Mancini pulls up in his red Ferrari. He steps out in blue coveralls with a crest on the pocket.
Hello, Rusty.
Pretty car. I love the color.
Thank you. You enjoy racing?
Well, I don't really know. I suppose you're very good.
Well, I hope I am.
Is Lucky good?
Potentially, he's the best since Carl Howard.
Cal Howard? Is he the champion?
Well, he would have been, but he had bad luck.
What do you mean?
His car crashed over a wall.
Rusty's green eyes gaze off.
So, as you see, the good thing to do is to avoid bad luck.
I guess so.
Hey, Rusty.
Hi.
What are you two talking about?
Oh, Rusty was asking about...
Yeah?
Oh, nothing. We were just discussing cars and drivers.
We got about an hour. I'll take you for a ride in mine.
You got the motor?
You better believe I got the motor, honey. Come on.
You do?
Holding hands, they leave.
Oh!
Hey, this way.
Lucky tugs her past the camels. Later, in his race car.
Okay. Now I'm going to downshift and bring up the 5700 rail.
What does that mean?
It means we're going into a turn.
Rusty clings to her door as Lucky turns
hey,
the wheel.
Okay.
Race cars speed past
Here's
them.
The shift point. Watch me burn up the guy ahead.
Why?
Because we got a wheel, that's why.
Rusty and Lucky sit in his steel blue race car on a trailer as Shorty tows them in the white convertible. Now they lounge on a park bench.
Just a few more 100 of these and I'll be racing again. Someday.
Someday you'll get smashed up just like Cal Howard.
Lucky glances sharply at her.
How do you know about that?
She stares at him.
Oh, look, he was just unlucky, that's all. He's just one of those things.
Unlucky, that's what everybody says.
She stands and steps away, then comes back.
Honey, I just don't understand this part of you. I really don't.
What do you mean, this part of me? Rusty, it is me. Try to understand, it is me.
He gazes up as she sits on the back of the bench.
Then you've got to understand me. When I get married, I want a little white house with a tree in the front yard. A real kind of tree, with green leaves.
Oh, that. When I get into the money, we can have 100 trees. And a big white house. A four-car garage and everything. Because by then I'll be the champ.
I don't want you to be champ. Look, don't you think I know that every single cent that you get your hands on, you're going to gamble away? Because it's that motor you want? The Grand Prix? Any race? Any fool would know you won't change. Not for anybody. Not for anybody.
As Rusty dashes off, Lucky frowns after her. Now she runs across the deck of her boathouse and goes inside.
Well, what do
are you doing home this time of day, honey? You feel all right?
I never felt better in my life.
Oh, sure, of course. I can see that, yeah.
Is it so unusual for a girl to come to her own home because she's sick and tired of that hotel and all the people in it? Is it so unusual for a girl to want a little peace and quiet? You answer it, and if it's anybody, I don't want to speak to him.
She goes downstairs to a furnished galley as her father gets up and walks to the door holding a bottle of beer. On deck, a blonde guy holds a 7-foot tree.
Yeah?
For Miss Rusty Martin.
He puts it down. Mr. Martin looks it over.
A tree? Yeah, a tree. Hmm. You want that I put it inside?
No. Better not. It's pretty outdoorsy here. Thanks.
Inside, Rusty tilts her chin sullenly.
Rusty, come here.
I'm not interested.
Well, it's not that anybody you didn't want to see. It's something he sent you. A little post.
It should be obvious that I'm completely indifferent to anything that this boy might give. Oh, it's a tree. Teddy, it's a tree.
It sure is.
Oh, I've wronged him. I've wronged him terribly.
Sure you have.
The things I said, what I did.
She holds the trunk.
All I can do is say so. From the bottom of my heart.
She runs off, leaving her father looking up at the tree. He raises his beer.
You know, Mr. Tree, we may have a big celebration come Christmas. You and I can both get lit up.
At the hotel, Rusty runs up to a dark-haired waiter.
Lucky? Oh, I'm sorry. It's not you.
She passes him and runs to the veranda where Mancini sits.
Rusty!
Oh, hi.
Hi, Rusty.
Hi.
Look, if you are free, why don't we have a quiet dinner in my suite tonight?
Oh, no, I couldn't. Not after the tree.
Meanwhile, his tray on his shoulder, Lucky stops and looks down at Shorty, who smokes a cigar.
What do you think you're doing?
Hi, Lucky baby.
You're supposed to be working, you know. Where's your uniform?
I'm not a waiter anymore, and neither are you.
Huh?
The Italian champ couldn't stand us race drivers being waiters, so he paid off our debt to this joint. From now on, we're free.
You must be out of your mind. We don't want to be.
Lucky glances toward Rusty and the count, then strides to a table of women, puts down his tray, and storms over.
Help yourself, ladies.
Lucky, I've got to talk to you.
Stop trying to help me and mind your own business, huh?
What are you talking about?
A talent show poster.
Oh, I know about the contest. But even if you should win, it won't be enough to buy your motor.
For the cash prize, I can win enough to buy the motor.
Oh, no.
Well, you can take your darn tree back.
Tree again? What's this tree?
Tree. I need a tree like a...
Just hold on for a second.
You
she keeps talking about a tree.
You can't do that to me.
Look, Rusty, I could use the money I'm going to win.
Win? Well, what makes you so sure you're going to win? I'm in the contest, too, you know.
Well, go ahead. Try to win. I don't care.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Well, that's fine.
I hope you lose.
Thanks.
He passes Shorty.
See what you started?
Scowling, Rusty spins around and points at the count.
Oh, didn't you ask me to dinner tonight?
Yes, of course.
All right.
Later in the hotel kitchen.
François.
Yes, ma'am.
You are to serve Count Mancini in his suite, as you know. And this quickly. This quickly. When you have finished serving, vanish. Because at this propitious moment, musicians take their places behind the screen, and romantic Italian melodies provide an atmosphere of... You see, the Count is dining à deux with the beautiful manager of our pool.
Bien, monsieur.
Frowning, Shorty walks up to Francois.
Hey, Frankie, can you be bought?
Later, Rusty arrives at Mancini's hotel suite.
You look lovely tonight.
Thank you. Oh, they're beautiful. Just beautiful. I've never had a whole spray before.
Thank you.
Mancini stands behind her as she sits.
I've always seen your hair in bright sunlight, Rusty. I thought it was the loveliest thing I'd ever seen. But by candlelight, it's softer, even more beautiful.
He leans close to her.
Yes, now, back to our conversation.
Conversation?
That we had today, remember, about the racing and drivers and...
Oh, yes, our conversation. But let's talk about you first, huh?
Lucky
enters. Good
evening,
folks.
Oh, no.
I thought you'd like to have a little something to gnaw, huh?
Potato chips and champagne don't go too well together.
Oh, come on, my favorite.
Lucky sniffs the candles.
The candles smell funny.
You don't need them anyway. It's bright as daylight outside.
Yes, now, what we were talking about. Why do you want to drive in the Grand Prix?
I want to win it.
It's my first race in the United States.
But I don't understand why.
Don't try to explain to her, Cal, because she won't understand. She won't.
He sets a napkin in her lap.
You won't understand, will you, baby, huh?
Don't call me baby.
Okay, baby. You want I should open the count, Pop? Pop count, huh?
If you know how.
Well, there's always a first time for everything. You ever have champagne before?
Certainly, hundreds of times.
Yeah?
When this friend of mine, Pauline Weatherby, got married.
Pauline Weatherby.
And when I was 18, my father and I split, and it was
wonderful.
But
you were asking why I want to race.
Yes.
Well, it is because racing cars have always been my hobby. I am a wealthy man. I have nothing to spend my money on, nothing that matters.
That's sad.
But if I met a girl I could love, I would gladly give up my hobby. Keep my cars as toys. Let Lucky drive them. He's a very fine driver, but a miserable waiter.
Lucky puts down the champagne bottle and brings over two bowls of soup, then lingers by the table. Mancini waves him away.
You give up racing?
The girl I love? Oh, yes.
Lucky sneers toward the table, then takes away the soup.
We haven't finished our soup
yet. It was cold when it spilled on my hat. It's no good.
Somebody I know wouldn't give up racing. For a girl or for anything.
He brings a serving dish.
I like the way you think.
Thanks.
It sounds very attractive and so reasonable.
This catfish don't look too healthy, Count. Kind of furry around edges, you know?
Bring us another order, then.
As the Count leans in, Lucky grabs the champagne.
You're going to get this girl primed. I would open this pot.
How dare you say that?
Look, I got to open it.
I feel it in my heart, Rusty. There comes a time in a man's life when he must put away his toys and get on to the more serious business of living.
Yep.
Nodding, Lucky works the cork.
I agree with you thoroughly. And it's a pleasure to hear a man's opinion and not have to listen to the stubborn ravings of a boy who won't grow up and...
Lucky sprays the Count with champagne.
Watch, my friend. Where's my regular waiter?
You don't want me, Count?
No, anybody but you.
Okay, okay. You take it easy with the pop, huh? Because I want you to be in top shape when you lose that talent contest. Right?
Leave it alone. Just get out, will you?
Okay, okay. I'm going. Bye.
The door opens and Shorty brings a tray, then trips.
Oh, no. Get out.
Mancini throws down his napkin and walks to the door, pulling up Shorty and shooing away Lucky.
All right. I'm sorry, Rusty. I didn't expect our dinner to turn into a farce.
That's all right.
Behind them, a shadow on the closed drapes shows a man with a guitar.
Music for you?
Oh, it's beautiful. Just beautiful.
Count Mancini takes Rusty's hand and leads her to a long leather bench.
Now I feel at home again.
As Mancini slides closer, Rusty moves away.
I can almost believe we are in my villa. Outside of Naples.
He slides closer again.
He lies up in the hills.
Rusty gets up and sits primly at the end of the bench.
The air is so soft.
She slides too far and lands on the hearth next to the bench.
Warms a man's blood.
It's air-conditioned here.
She backs through the spacious living room.
Flowers tumble over the wall.
Oh.
Everything's in bloom.
He backs her to the sofa.
Well, you mustn't judge all America by Las Vegas, because, see, Las Vegas is in the desert, and it's in the summertime now, and it's very
if
hot.
You think I don't need you.
Lucky strides through the curtain with his guitar. Rusty drops her head, laughing as he leans against a pillar behind her.
Since you've been gone, I've been so alone. If you think I don't need you, then baby, you're wrong. If you think I don't love you, what could I do to prove to you, baby, my love is true? I sing the same old song since you've been gone. Since you've been gone, I've been so alone.
Lucky follows her back toward the Count, who sits her on the bench between them.
I hate to break this up, folks, but if you don't want to be late for the talent contest, we better go, baby.
Don't call me.
Baby.
He leaves, and the Count walks Rusty to the door.
Do you understand what I tried to say, Rusty?
What you tried to say sounds most attractive.
Thank you. Good luck in the contest.
I need it.
Opening the door, they find Lucky.
Yeah, I was just, yeah.
He straightens from the keyhole. Shrugging her shoulders, Rusty turns and smiles as Mancini blows her a kiss. Now, in the hotel's lavish auditorium, people sit at small tables around a stage, watching a man and woman spin china plates on long poles that jut up from a waiter's cart. Turning to take a plate, the man trips. The MC stands by an applause meter.
Ah, wonderful. You all know our chef, Carl, and his lovely wife, who will now be appearing in the kitchen only to pay for the broken dishes. But here's a real treat, gang, fellow employees. Here's a lovely young lady who comes to us direct from a sensational run around our swimming pool. Our very clever and charming pool manager. Let's all make her welcome. Lovely Rusty Martin. Come on, let's bring Rusty.
Rusty wears a snow-white fur coat.
Mother brought me up as a good little girl. And Mother was always right. She said, respect your elders as you should, little girl. It pays to be polite. Remember, it pays to be polite.
The spotlight follows her as she walks down a glittering staircase, flashing her coat's purple lining.
Once I met a nice old man upon the village green. I helped him cross the street into his limousine. Next day he sent the biggest brooch I've ever seen to show his appreciation. Now wasn't that sweet?
Crossing the stage, Rusty pulls off her long white glove and twirls it above her head.
Grow and grow, yeah, Mother, dear Mother was right. Daughter, there's no telling just how far you can go just by being polite, right?
Right.
She throws down her other glove and sashays.
Look up there on the ledge. A man on the very edge.
A big tycoon in Wall Street. He said he was in hock. I told him if he didn't jump, he could take me to dinner at 8 o'clock. Well, he didn't jump. The market went up and he gave me half a stock to show his appreciation.
Off a little on me. What is AT&T?
She clutches her fur collar and tips her head. As the curtain rises behind her, she drops her fur coat to the ground, revealing a pink bathing suit. Turning on the balls of her high heels, she steps back seductively to a bare stage where six male dancers wearing gray vests and ascots surround her. In a line across the stage, they raise their hands over their heads and spin, then leap into a scissor kick. As Rusty moves down the line, the men reach into their vest pockets, pulling out strands of pearls and looping them on her arm. She cuddles the necklaces, then drops them on the coat as the men take sliding steps off stage. Dancing alone, she throws one arm out, then the other, as the lights dim and bright red spots appear on a dark backdrop. As she throws out one foot then the other with a wide smile on her face. With each kick, she tosses out a hand, then brings it back to rest on her rocking hips. Throwing her arms above her head, she slides on one knee to the front of the stage. She rises, and two men bring out her fur coat, draping it on her shoulders and standing attentively at her side. She smiles at them as they leave her alone on the stage.
That's my story, the end of my song. Just be polite and you will never go wrong. Love your fellow man and you'll always get along when it comes to appreciation.
Rusty slowly rolls her head to the music, then freezes with a wide-eyed, seductive stare. Sitting with Mancini, Rusty's dad claps wildly.
Oh, look at this. We're really way up there, gang. Looks like you're the winner so far. And now, fellow employees, here is America's foremost waiter, but he may be tomorrow's maitre d'. So let's welcome, from amongst yourselves, Lucky Jackson.
On stage, Lucky enters through saloon doors as showgirls dance in swimsuits and feathered hats.
Right, like city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living, the devil may care. And I am just a devil with no despair. That there were more than 24 hours in the day. Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute away. Oh, there's blackjack and poker and the roulette wheel. A fortune won and lost on every deal. All you need is a heart and a little steel. Las Vegas with your neon flashing and your one-arm bandits crashing all those hopes down the drain. Fever, Las Vegas turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same again.
He marches backward and swivels his hips.
Keep on the run, I'm gonna have me some fun. It cost me my very last dime. If I wind up broke, well, I'll always remember that I had a swing in time. I'm gonna give it everything I've got. Lady luck, please let the dice stay hot. Let me shoot some of every shot, sir. Viva!
Lucky leads the four showgirls in a rumba line, then dances in the center of the stage, shaking his shoulders as the women exit. His red shirt, open beneath a black bolero jacket, reveals a smooth tan chest.
Viva, viva, Las Vegas!
The crowd leaps to its feet. Off stage, Shorty applauds as Rusty joins him.
Hey, that was really wonderful, wasn't it? Let's see what the old leader says. Hey, it's really right up there. Looks like we got ourselves a tie, huh?
Rusty and Lucky share a glance across the stage.
Rusty, come on out, honey. And Lucky, Lucky Jackson. Hey, you kids were really wonderful. No kidding, you were dynamite. Hey, why don't we decide who the winner is Las Vegas style? Well, I'll flip a silver dollar, huh? Ladies first, would you pick a toss, Rusty?
Heads.
Heads, okay. Heads.
He tosses.
Tails.
He didn't torch it high enough.
Well, looks like the winner is Lucky Jackson. Yeah.
Gee, we did it, Lucky. We got the ball. We did it, baby.
And, of course, we do have a second prize for Miss Martin. Take a look here.
Showgirls wheel out a pool table.
The girls, they go with me. But here for you is a genuine, regulation-size, beautiful pool table. Now, here's a wonderful evening of fun for the entire family. Mom, Pop, and the kiddies. How about that?
I never expected anything so beautiful, nor so big. I'm very happy. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
And now, the first prize. First prize.
Lucky stares at Rusty and knits his brow.
Lucky Jackson, this is yours. This beautiful silver trophy is all yours. Now, you hold it for 1 year, and the next year, you hand it to next year's winner. wait a minute. That's not all. That's not all. You also receive
money.
The MC waves an envelope.
An all-expense-paid 2 weeks honeymoon right here in fabulous Las Vegas. How about that?
Oh, no.
Shorty falls down. Now, Lucky and Rusty pose for photographers.
That's all, kids. Thank you very much.
Shorty comes over and points at Rusty and her father.
Thank you. Ask her, Lucky. Go ahead, ask her.
Rusty? I'll trade you this honeymoon for your pool table because you don't need it.
I don't need a honeymoon. Besides, I love it. It's got a lot of practical uses.
Yeah, she won't loosen up with a Lucky. She can sell it same as you can.
There's no sense in trying, Lucky. We lost our motor. I think I'll go jump over the dam and take this with me.
Shorty leaves with the prize envelope. As Rusty tilts her chin stubbornly, Lucky gives her a doleful gaze.
Excuse me, folks. It's rescue time.
Rusty glances down as Lucky leaves with his trophy. Nighttime in a dimly lit club. As a bartender turns over chairs and sets them on empty tables, Lucky enters and stops by a couple as they sway in the shadows with their arms around each other. Lucky moves on past other couples.
I need somebody to lean on. I need somebody to tell my troubles to.
Lucky puts one hand on a post as he stares over at the circular dance floor, painted like a roulette wheel. One couple stands in the middle, shifting back and forth in a sleepy dance.
Tell me what good would my crying do? I need somebody to help me. Help me forget all those worries on my mind. And when I'm lonely, if someone would only wanna be sweet.
As Lucky turns away, soft light falls on his face.
I need somebody. Won't that somebody please, please listen to my plea? Need that somebody. Won't that somebody come running to me? I need somebody to lean on. I'm tired of being unhappy and single. If she came, I would hold her, 'cause I need that shoulder to lean on. Yes, I really do. I need somebody, and baby, that somebody is you.
Glancing around at the lingering couples, Lucky walks slowly through the club. Stepping outside into the softly blinking neon glow of the marquee, Lucky hangs his head and heads away down the sidewalk. Behind him, Shorty moves out of the shadows and follows him for a few yards, then stops, shaking his head. Suddenly, he brightens. Daytime. Lucky strolls across the sandy lot to some mechanics.
Hey, buddy. You see the Shorty?
Nope.
I can't find him. It looks like he ran out and took my car, too.
Lucky stands with his hands in the pockets of his grease-stained coveralls. A race car motors past him. As he enters the garage, Count Mancini sits in the driver's seat of his red Ferrari. A mechanic tunes the engine.
No, that's not the way I want it.
Okay, Mancini, you win.
You'll drive for me?
No, but I'll work on your car for you.
Okay, you work on my car, I'll work on your girl.
Rusty's father comes in.
You mind if I watch? I've always wanted to take a look at one of these things, see how they've changed.
But of course, Mr. Martin. Lucky will explain everything to you.
Oh, well, thanks.
Lucky leans over the engine.
Sure, Mr. Martin, if it's all right with your daughter.
What has she got to say about it? What are these things?
It's a carburetor.
Carburetor?
There's three of them in this particular car. That's the only change that's been...
Three?
Rusty walks in behind them.
Well, Father.
They jump.
I thought you were going fishing.
I'm practically on my way.
Well, then you can take me with you.
I tell you, anybody who admires this girl is a fool.
Shorty drives Lucky's convertible into the shop with a large box in the trailer.
I got it! I got the motor! I got the motor! What do you say? She's a beauty!
You mean we got it?
Yes, we got the motor. She's ours.
We got it. Mancini, did you do this?
Oh, save your gratitude, my friend. Why should I do it?
Did you do it, Rusty?
Me? Do you think I'd have any part of this whole horrible thing?
Come on, stop acting like a detective and get to work.
Do you really think you can set it up and have it run by midnight? It's already noon.
We can do it.
You bet.
Now, look, if you can use a little help,
I... Oh, help, all right.
Oh, now, honey, why don't you go fishing? Go ahead. The fishing is good.
I need a chain fall, Shorty. Mr. Martin, an end wrench.
End wrench.
Get the torque wrench, Shorty.
Gotcha.
Mr. Martin runs and fetches Lucky a hammer.
End wrench.
Yeah.
Rusty stomps out and slams her purse on the hood of her white convertible. A breeze flutters her pink skirt as she steps over the door into the seat. Later, a ship's clock ticks on the wall of the Martin's boat home. Rusty sits in the galley, tapping her foot. Next to her, a large picnic basket brims with fruit and sandwiches.
Does he love me most or love my rival? Does he love my rival more than me?
She slices bread.
When the weekend comes, he's with my rival. Yes, he's with my rival constantly.
She makes more sandwiches.
And all through the week, my competition gets the praise. That style, that pep, that body line. There was a time when he praised mine. He's not fooling me, he's with my rival. And I know right where they are. He's carrying things too far. My rival is a baby blue racing car. I could be the senorita or a lady of fame. A gold digger with a crazy figure. Beat her at her own game. I'll make you a bet, I'd make him forget. A hostess on a jet, a sexy brunette. A model from Paris, a wealthy heiress. A chick who's a gasser, a graduate of Vassar. A socialite who's out all night. A famous movie star. A debutante or Charlie's aunt. A golfer who shoots par. Can't compare the female gender with a spare or with a fender. Rev it up and listen to it. I know right where they are. He's carrying things too far. My rival is a baby blue racing car.
Hefting the basket onto her shoulder, she leaves. Later, on the sandy lot, she walks around to the passenger's side of her convertible and hauls out the overflowing basket. Shorty, Lucky, and Mr. Martin work on the race car. As Rusty enters, they glance up.
Wheels are okay.
Right.
Father, I brought you some food, if he'll allow you time enough to eat it.
I'm sorry, Pop, but why don't you take five?
Five what? 5 days?
Could you get this junk out of here, please?
This junk happens to be nourishment for my father. Do you really think your junk is going to be ready in time for midnight?
Look, if you came over here to talk, you're wasting everybody's time. If you want to help, we'll put these on and get to work.
Oh, all right. I will.
Rusty's father helps her step into a pair of white coveralls.
Well, hurry up and give me a wrench.
What wrench?
It's over there in the tool case.
Rusty rushes to the tool case, then brings a screwdriver to Lucky, who rolls his eyes.
Yeah, sure.
Taking a stainless steel coffee pot from the basket, Rusty walks off and kneels by some power cords. She yanks out one plug, and Lucky frowns at his power drill.
Hey! Rusty, don't touch anything unless I tell you, please. Through the cord.
Lucky plugs in his drill and walks away. Rusty takes the coffee pot and crawls along the floor, following the tangle of power cords. At another bay, she pulls the plug out of a shop light.
Hey, put that plug back in there, will you?
Rusty, will you please stop crossing the wires? You're liable to blow us up. Come here, let me put you where you won't bother us.
Mr. Martin, would you stop being a father and get the girl out of here before she louses up the whole race?
Honey, will you please go fishing, make her happy?
She can't help it. She's plain ignorant. Let her stick around a while. She's liable to learn something in a couple of months. Where's the gun?
What does he need a gun for?
To shoot you with if you don't get out of the way.
No, a greased gun, honey, over there.
She points it at her father.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. If we would have gone fishing, none of this would have happened.
Give me the gun.
Oh. As Shorty reaches up, Rusty shoots grease into his face.
Oh, no.
Later, near midnight, race cars roll through the garage, flanked by mechanics.
Attention in the pits and the garage areas. Let's get all the cars to the Grand Prix up to the starting grid now, gentlemen. There's a few missing. Let's bring them up.
Outside, the crowded stadium glows under spotlights. The small, low-riding race cars line up along the track.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the first running of the Las Vegas Grand Prix. We will have television cameras along the circuit to bring you this coverage, and also we'll be in communication by telephone.
Inside, Lucky leaps into the open cockpit of his sleek blue car. Mancini strides to his Ferrari.
We'll start!
As Lucky tries again, Mancini peels out of the shop. It stops.
This time, we have not seen Lucky Jackson. And right now, we have gotten word that they're working frantically to get this car ready for the race.
Come on, let's push it!
Shorty, on, Rusty, push. And Mr. Martin push.
Okay, we got it.
I found a cop that deflied the crew.
Great.
What crew?
You, your dad, and me. Who else?
Yeah, me.
Come on, let's go.
Lucky salutes Rusty, who blows him a kiss.
Here comes Lucky Jackson now. This is a real thriller. We didn't think he'd make the grid at all from the reports we've been getting all day, but they're bringing his car up now, and he will be in the race. This course will take him the countryside around Hoover Dam, Mount Charleston, and various points throughout the desert. Attention all drivers. Attention all drivers. Will you go to your starting positions now, gentlemen?
Streaked with grease, Rusty runs through the crowd to her father and Shorty. Beyond a barricade, Lucky lines up with other drivers. He adjusts his goggles and glances at Rusty.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The 12 drivers sprint across the track to the row of gleaming race cars. They gun the cars onto the track. One car bumps another. Their headlights cut through a cloud of red dust as they burn out of the stadium. Rusty runs onto the track and stands in the settling dust, hands in the pockets of her coveralls. On the Las Vegas Strip, brightly lit with neon signs, a crowd lines the sidewalks as the cars run down the empty street and cut around the corner. Lucky and the Count ride side by side at the rear of the pack. Meanwhile, back at the stadium, Shorty sits in the open door of a helicopter. Mr. Martin sits on the landing foot holding a thermos of coffee as Rusty runs up.
Come on, let's go, Rusty, yeah. Come on, let's go.
The three pile into the cockpit. Shorty works the controls.
Hurry, come on!
Okay, sit back, put your seatbelt on.
Morning, the cars race along a straightaway, approaching the massive Hoover Dam.
Well, it's 6:10 a.m., ladies and gentlemen, and right now they're approaching Hoover Dam. Everybody coming through in apparently good order. As the cars come over the dam, a beautiful sight to see.
Gleaming in the early morning sunlight, the cars weave along a narrow, curving road that stretches across the top of the towering dam wall. On the other side of the dam, the cars race onto a highway flanked by craggy red rock formations. With his goggles strapped to his helmet, Mancini squints, then checks his gauges. Dust clings to the roof of his car. Behind the Count, Lucky trails behind another driver. He wipes red dust from his goggles and passes the car on a hill. The helicopter skims overhead between two rock walls and follows the line of cars. Inside, Rusty taps her fist on her dirty knee, her eyes trained on Lucky's blue car, driving near the back of the pack. Shorty and Mr. Martin lean forward and watch the race with worried looks. Now, the winding road drops through a ravine in the Red Canyon. At a curve, one car brakes and slides off the road, busting through a white wooden barricade. Lucky, in the open cockpit of his low car, grips the wheel with both hands and focuses on a white car 40 yards ahead of him. The pack moves over undulating hills like boats riding the waves. Up ahead, Mancini's red Ferrari keeps a slight lead over a yellow car. A shortcut splits off the main road. Mancini swerves around an outcropping and takes the rough high ground. Mancini's car skids back onto the main road, inches ahead of the yellow car. He holds the wheel steady. Now, stone-faced, Lucky advances in the pack. At a tight curve, a turquoise car loses the edge, crashing over a sandbag wall into a pole. In the helicopter, Rusty looks down in horror at the wreck. Now, Lucky, with his full lips set in a grim line, passes another car and speeds toward the back end of Mancini's Ferrari. As the shuddering red car drifts to the right, Lucky seizes the opportunity, thundering by for a slight lead. High above, the helicopter follows the two cars. Lucky lengthens his lead over Mancini as the highway winds through lower elevations dotted with evergreen trees. Jagged mountain peaks loom in the distance. Mancini takes a hairpin curve wide and skids across a gravelly slope, then swerves back down onto the road. He guns the car after Lucky. A yellow car spins out and crawls up the slope as other cars tear by. On a flat stretch, Mancini pulls parallel to Lucky. Lucky looks over, then takes off ahead and cuts back in to block the count. With both hands on the wheel, Mancini passes Lucky on the left. Now, Lucky, riding low in his steel blue car, pulls alongside Mancini again. The two tear down the road, side by side, 200 yards ahead of the other drivers. Glancing to his right, Lucky notices the Ferrari's rear left tire wobbling and points down. Mancini glances over. Keeping his eyes forward, Lucky points again. The tire blows. The Ferrari swerves off the road and careens over the rough desert ground. Mancini steers back onto the road and his car flips. Another car slams into the Ferrari. Lucky glances back and shakes his head, then accelerates, passing two more cars. Behind him, a driver runs off the road, flying out over a steep drop-off. As it tumbles down the embankment, the car bursts into flames. Up in the helicopter, Rusty covers her eyes, Shorty grimaces. They trail Lucky as he passes more cars, speeding into the outskirts of Las Vegas.
Come on! Come on, Lucky!
A crowd lines the nightclub strip as the drivers round the corner. Ahead by a length, Lucky races over the finish line. He clamps his hand over Shorty's mouth. Later, checkered flags wave as Lucky and Rusty leave a wedding chapel. Mancini gives the bride a kiss.
Send me a card, Jim. Can I miss you?
Grinning, Lucky shakes Mr. Martin's hand. Now, a split-screen view shows Lucky and Rusty in the talent show. In front of white saloon doors, Lucky dances as if marching in place and bobs his head from side to side. Rusty dances in her pink bathing suit against a backdrop of small red spotlights, throwing out her long legs in a kick. Lucky pumps his fist. Now, a title appears in glittering red and gold neon. Viva Las Vegas, The End, presented by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.